Masechet Berachot, Perek Tet, Mishnah He. This Mishnah is going to now go back to the subject of when bad things happen to a person, that he's supposed to say Baruch Dayan HaEmet, he's supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bless him, and recognize that he is the true judge of what should happen in this world. Mishnah says, Hayav Adam Mevarech Al Hara'a, Keshem Shu Mevarech Al HaTova. Mishnah says, a person must say the beracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmet, at Levarech Al Hara'ah, Keshem Shu Mevarech Al HaTovah, just like he is saying a blessing on good things, which is HaTovah HaMetiv. He has to have that same enthusiasm, that same joy, that same recognition that God runs the world, whether he is saying a beracha on a good thing or even a bad thing. How do we know that? From the pasuk, ve'ahavta adonai eloheicha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha, from the pasuk that says, and you should love Hashem your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your resources. So before the Mishnah is going to talk about the limud, how it supports the teaching that we just had, that he has to thank God equally for the good and the bad, before we learn it out from the pasuk that we just mentioned, the Gemara is going to bring a different explanation of the pasuk, which is, Bechol levavecha b'shnei yesarecha. From the fact that the pasuk says bechol levavecha, with all of your hearts, instead of bechol libecha, with your heart, it's talking about multiple hearts, suggesting that a person has to worship God with his yetzer hatov and his yetzer hara. Yetzer hatov, easy, by doing the mitzvot, by connecting to God, learning, praying, etc. But yetzer hara becomes much more difficult. Yetzer hara talks about all the physical enjoyments that one has in this world. A person has the ability to get lost in pursuit of pleasure and of enjoyment. What this teaches us is a person has to channel all of those desires to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he wants to eat, he shouldn't just eat for the sake of satiating himself. He should also eat for the sake of having in mind that I'm going to eat to satiate myself, to make myself healthy, la'avodat habore, in order to eventually worship God. That's b'chol levavecha. B'yetzer hatov, yetzer hara. B'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul. Afilu hu notel et nafshecha. Even if he wants to take away your soul, even if a person has to give away his life, lo alenu, he has to die for the sake of Judaism. And we know a person is not supposed to take death over the observance of mitzvot. If a person is told, violate a mitzvah or you're going to die, he's supposed to violate the mitzvah. But here it's specifically talking about one of the three major sins that a person has to die for instead of committing that sin, which is a person committing adultery, murder, or worshipping idols, avodah zarah. If a person is put in that situation where he has to worship an idol, he's not allowed to worship that idol, he has to take death. Umchol me'odecha, with all of your resources, which means all of your b'chol mamonecha, with all of your money. If your person is told you have to give up all of his money in order to continue worshiping God and continuing to have that relationship, he's supposed to give up everything in order to avoid transgressing. Davar acher, now the Mishnah is going to go back to our original limud. Our original topic of the Mishnah was that a person has to have the same joy and enthusiasm in doing the mitzvah of recognizing that God controls all, including the evil things that happen to him. So when he says Baruch Dayan HaEmet, he has to recognize, and he has to have that with this, do that with the same fervor that he does HaTov HaMetiv. So how do we learn that out? Bechol mida umida shu moded lecha, heve mode lo bimod meod. From the word Bechol meodecha, we learn out meodecha means whatever measurement. Whatever measurement God measures out for you, whether he measures out good things happening, bad things happening, it doesn't matter. You have to approach it no matter what, that I am going to thank him. I'm going to be modelo bimod meod. I'm going to thank him very much for what he does for me, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It becomes irrelevant. Now that we're talking about this topic of love of God, ve'ahavta, the Mishnah is going to turn to a connected mitzvah, which is yira'ah, which is fear of God. And one way that a person really performs this mitzvah of yira'ah, of fearing God, is by showing respect to the Makom HaMikdash, for the spot of where the Temple Mount is. And that's why the Mishnah is going to mention certain things that a person has to refrain from doing on the Temple Mount. Lo yakel adam et rosho keneged shaar ha-mizrah. A person is not allowed to behave in a very lightheaded manner when standing in Jerusalem, facing the gate of the Temple Mount, when he's in the direction of the Temple Mount. He has to have a certain yirah, certain feeling of awe. Shu mechuvan keneged bet kodesh kodashim, because that gate is directly opposite the kodesh kodashim, the holy of holies, where the kohen gadol enters on Yom Kippur. More halachot about the Beit Hamikdash. Lo ikanes lahar habayit b'maklo b'minalo u'afundato u'avak she'al raglav. A person not allowed to enter the Temple Mount with his maklo, his staff, u'b'minalo with his shoes on, b'afundato with his money belt on, or b'avak she'al raglav, or with dust that's on his feet. He has to clean off his feet before he enters. Harabayit. These are all considered to be disrespectful things. Ve'lo ya'aseru kepandaria, and one should not use it as a shortcut by cutting through the Beit HaMikdash. You may say, you know what, if I go through the Beit HaMikdash mountain, Harabayit, I'll be able to save time on my walk. Asur to do that. You can't use it as a shortcut. Urkika mekal vahomer. And the Mishnah learns out that obviously spitting becomes not appropriate on the Harabayit, because how do we learn that kal vahomer? Because we say, if wearing shoes, which is not a blatant act of disrespect, it's just not proper on that type of mountain to do it, but in a general place, wearing shoes is not disrespectful, but spitting is disrespectful wherever you go. So obviously, kal vahomer, that if shoes are not allowed, spitting would not be allowed on the Temple Mount. Another teaching of the Mishnah, kol chotmei berachot shehayu b'mikdash hayu omrim min ha'olam. Any time the Hazan would say a beracha in the Beit HaMikdash during the Amidah, they would add in the words min ha'olam. Min ha'olam means that Hashem existed from before the beginning of the world. It's an additional praise of God. And they learn it out from Nehemiah, how it was done. So they would basically say the beracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elohei Yisrael min ha'olam, the God of Israel from the world. And the reason they would do this in the Beit HaMikdash is because, as we learn out from Nehemiah, they didn't say Amen to the berachot in the Beit HaMikdash. They would say Baruch Shem Kivo Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed, for whatever reason. So Hachamim started to say it could become a little bit embarrassing that the answering of Baruch Shem Kivo Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed for the berachot is longer than the beracha itself. Baruch Atah Hashem Chonen Adat. So they added in a few additional words to strengthen the beracha and to make it more of a praise. But then what would happen? Mishil Kilkilu HaMinim, the minim, the heretics in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash, started to become very corrupted. It became a lot of heretics at that point who started to undermine belief in Judaism, and nobody knew who was who anymore. So what would happen? These people would get up there and they would pray, but they would have kavanah. They would have the intention to undermine basic Jewish ideas with their prayers. So Hachamim noticed this, and what did they do? And these people didn't believe in Olam Haba. They started not to believe in the world to come. And they said, look, there's only one world. That's the problem. If they would only say this, in Olam, Ve'amru in Olam, Elai Had, these people would say there's only one world. There's not two worlds. Hitkinu shihu omrim min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. What did the sages do? Hachamim established that from now on, they would say, from min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, that a person, when he would go up Hazan, would say, from the world until the world, to emphasize the existence of another world. God is in this world, and God is in the next world as well. And that way, a person going up to be Hazan demonstrated that he believed in both worlds, Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. They also made additional takanot in terms of giving respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, "Beitkinu sheyehe adam shoel shalom havero b'Hashem." That he said a person is allowed, when he greets his friend, he's allowed to greet his friend using the name of God, even though a person would think that you shouldn't be using the name of God to honor a fellow human being. It's not such a good thing to do. We see that it's allowed. How do we know that? Shne'emar, v'hineh Boaz ba mi Beit Lehem. We see Boaz came from the town of Beit Lehem. Vayomer lakotzerim, and he told the harvesters, Adonai imachem, Hashem is with you. And they, vayomeru lo, yivarechecha Adonai, and they answered him back, yivarechecha Adonai. They answered him like that in turn. So they're both using the name of God back and forth to each other. But since Boaz is using the name of God to his workers, we see that it's permitted. Ve'omer, Hashem imecha gebore hayil. But a person could say, you know what, maybe Boaz wasn't doing so well. Maybe Boaz was making a mistake, he was acting improperly, and therefore we need to bring a different proof. So we bring a proof over here from the book of Shoftim. The book of Shoftim, we have when Gid'on, when the angel appears to Gid'on, he tells him, Hashem is with you, Gibor HaHayil, mighty man. He told Gid'on, so we can learn out from this angel that, you know what, maybe we're allowed to use. We see from here clear proof that we're allowed to use the name of God. The Mishnah doesn't fully love that, because they say, you know what, maybe it's possible that the angel is not greeting Gid'on like that, he's just rather stating a fact to Gid'on that Hashem is with him. So it's not a greeting, it's just telling him that when he goes to battle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with him. Therefore, the Mishnah is going to bring another pasuk to prove that the original line that we had, in terms of learning out that a person is allowed to greet his friend from Boaz, is a correct limud. We can learn it out from there. How? By the pasuk, Ve'omer al tavuz ki zakna imecha. We learn out that it says, don't shame her, although your mother be old. What does that mean? Don't shame the elders of your nation. A person is prohibited to speak in a negative way about the elders of his nation. So how could we suggest, God forbid, that Boaz acted improperly when he used the name of God in a greeting? Can't be. We know the elders act a certain way. Therefore, we learn out that pasuk of Boaz was correct. Ve'omer et la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha. Now, the Mishnah is going to talk about how Boaz himself learned that he's allowed to greet his friends in that manner. Ve'omer et la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha. There's a pasuk from Tehillim where it says, it's a time to act for Hashem. They have nullified the law. Heferu toratecha. They didn't keep the law properly. Therefore, we need to pursue punishment for those people who don't keep the law because they nullified it. So we have to now prosecute them. But Ibn Natan Omer, he learns that in a different way. He says, no. There's a way to learn out this pasuk in a different way. We're allowed to nullify the law when it's a time to act for Hashem. And we need to do something in order to keep a certain ideal that God wants, God's will. In our situation, God wants peace and harmony between people. Heferu toratecha. We're allowed to use God's name a little more freely in that instance in order to keep peace and harmony between the people. And that was the whole idea behind why Boaz started to use God's name. You greet somebody like that. Eventually, you have a certain friendship with them and they trust you and they hold you to be in high esteem because of that greeting, that special greeting that you gave them. Hadran alan masechet. Berachot. Masechet Yomah Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. This first Mishnah of the Masechet is going to talk about any preparation that the Kohen Gadol had to make 1 week before Yom Kippur in order to ensure that he would be ready to perform the Avodah when Yom Kippur eventually arrived. Mishnah says, Shiva'at Yamim Kodeh Yom Kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur began. Mafrishin Kohen Gadol mi beto. We separate the Kohen Gadol from his house and from his family. We put him into quarantine. Lelishkat Palhedrin. We bring him to live in the Lishkat Palhedrin, the chamber where the royal officials were, and that overlooked the Azara. It was in isolation. It wasn't near anything else. Umatkinin lo Kohen Aher tahtav. And what we also do is we prepare a backup Kohen Gadol as his substitute in case he becomes disqualified from serving in the Beit HaMikdash, because if he becomes Tameh and is unable to purify himself before Yom Kippur because of the various lengths of the Tum'ah status, then he can't serve in the Beit HaMikdash, and we need to have a backup Kohen Gadol who's going to make sure to take care of the Avodah if this one is not available. Sometimes Tum'ah can happen without a person controlling it. Somebody else walks in to the room that he's in and they die on the spot. It becomes a Tamemet. The Ohel, the roof, covers both of them. So there's a big idea of things being Be'onis. He can't control it, so therefore we want to have a backup to make sure that there will be a Kohen Gadol doing the service for the Jewish people. There's another precaution that they would take. There's a machloket about that. We'll stay right now. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af isha aheret matkinin lo. Rabbi Yehuda says they also would prepare an additional wife for the Kohen Gadol to marry in case shema tamut ishto, in case his current wife dies before he gets a chance to finish the service of Yom Kippur. And there was a problem with that. Shne'emar v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beto. The pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol, really talking about Aharon in this context, should bring kapara, he should bring atonement for himself and for beto, his household. And what does the word household mean? Beto zo ishto. Our tradition understands the word beto, his household, to be his wife. That we see that any Kohen Gadol has to have a wife in order to provide kapara for her as well on Yom Kippur. If he doesn't, he's not allowed to do the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash on that day. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be unmarried. Hachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they're going to say that there's no need to prepare a backup wife for the Kohen Gadol. Amrulo, the rabbis told back to him, Rabbi Yehuda, im ken el davar sof. If you're going to be concerned that the wife is suddenly going to die, maybe the backup wife is going to die as well, and you should have to prepare a third wife. And if the third wife, maybe a fourth wife. So basically they're telling him that it can't be so, if you're going to get involved in that level of nervousness, there's no end to it. You got to be super concerned that the third wife's going to die as well. So therefore, the opinion of the Hachamim is we're not concerned at all about the sudden death of the wife. So we're not going to prepare another woman to marry the Kohen Gadol if she passes away. We are, though, in their opinion, scared about Tum'ah. Tum'ah is something that's much more common. People become tameh, while people dying suddenly isn't as common. So therefore, even the Hachamim would agree that you need to prepare a substitute Kohen Gadol. The Tosfot Yom Tov adds in here as well that there's not the same question of Ein LaDavar Sof. You don't need to prepare a third Kohen Gadol in case this one becomes tameh. Because even though we're saying that it's prevalent, the fact that they're appointing a second Kohen Gadol is also to try and motivate the real Kohen Gadol to stay pure. If he looks over his shoulder and he sees there's another Kohen waiting in the wings, waiting for his job, what happens with him? He's going to be extra careful. So even though Tum'ah is prevalent, he's going to be on guard. He's going to be super careful to make sure that he doesn't become Tameh, because he doesn't want to have somebody else taking his position and doing the entire service. So therefore, he's careful not to become Tameh, and we're confident that he will remain Tahor till the service is all finished, until the end of Yom Kippur.